Hey, John.
Is there like colorful music we're gonna have for this one?
No.
Live from somebody's basement. E3 coverage now.
Yeah. After it's all over, get your top information here. Don't like watching press conferences?
Just listen to us for 4 hours and you'll be covered.
Yeah. Boss Barrel Radio, E3 special edition, I guess, 2011. Just John and Griff on this one. Ryan's not feeling up to it. He's exhausted, so.
So much E3.
Yeah.
He's just been a meltdown.
Yeah, he was there. He's not coming. No, we watched, I think we've seen pretty much everything. So we'll just kind of start at the start and talk about Monday, day one to...
Oh, you want to do it?
Yesterday.
You want to do it in that order?
Yeah, I think we should, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll probably deviate some, but we'll I expect this to go kind of long because it's a lot of information. Yes, so if need it, like, be, we'll do a part two episode later.
I've got like over a dozen different things lined up.
Mm-hmm. Appointments?
No, not appointments. Just a dozen different like articles that I have flagged on my phone to.
Oh, yeah. Things you need to talk about.
Yep. Yep.
And you said the only one you didn't see all of was Nintendo, right?
I didn't see all of Nintendo, and I did not get around to EA or Ubisoft. I got distracted by documentaries. All
right, they so
more the, interesting at the moment.
The two that you missed. So you've seen most of the big ones. So let's start with day one. Monday, we had the Xbox media briefing.
Briefing.
Because it wasn't just a press conference.
Oh, man, you were telling me that was... That was a lot of old foot. I feel like this is why I missed out on some of that stuff, because I feel like it was a lot of like dudes talking into just air. Like, I felt really bored with that thing for good chunks of that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like at some point I wasted like 20 minutes going up and like heating the oven and sort of paying attention to what was going on.
Right. Yeah. There were, it was a long, it was like an hour and a half, I think. And, really didn't show a lot. Like, if you were to summarize the Xbox press conference, it would be, you know, hey, Kinect is still a thing we're doing.
Xbox, Bing.
Yeah, there you go.
That was just like, Microsoft, Google,
mm-hmm.
Figure it out.
Wasn't it weird that they have integration of, YouTube into,
Yeah, when
Xbox.
However,
they're going with the Microsoft search engine of Bing.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was just
YouTube
like,
YouTube is like partnered with Google.
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on there.
Yeah. So many crisscrossing paths.
Yeah. Oh man.
But you know, they did show some games, but not really anything new. It was a lot of just talking about the technology, talking about like advances for the Xbox console media device.
I will say that like what they showed with the Kinect connection is, I say this every time they move forward with Kinect, it's just like, oh, it's more of what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
When you talked about it at first.
Sure.
Now I can operate like my Xbox with my voice or hands.
Right.
Like in not this like bastard version of
right
it will actually let me like access everything.
Yeah, where you instead of still having to hold the controller and use voice commands.
Right.
It was you can probably break it down into just like you've got your Kinect side, you've got your media side, and you've got your game side. And the games was probably the weakest, because really the only new things they announced was like Dance Central 2.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple new Kinect games like Disneyland Adventures. Mm-hmm. And that is pretty much it for what I can remember. Oh yeah, Halo Anniversary Edition and Halo 4.
Halo Anniversary Edition looks all right, but
yeah,
I don't know if $40 is the right price point.
I think it's perfect.
I think
multiplayer.
Yeah, I think $30.
Yeah, I think it'll sell fine.
I don't doubt that, but.
I would be more interested in if it was 30, but
yeah,
40 is fine.
But
yeah, a lot of just like it started. They kicked off the press conference with their "Let's show Modern Warfare 3"
mm-hmm.
Sub level, Hunter mm-hmm. Killer sub level. That game looks uninteresting to me.
Rails.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of rails.
Do you like playing Call of Duty? Well, maybe you should just go with the multiplayer then.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of scripted stuff.
Yep.
It's just the fatigue of like, all right, I've seen shooters. I've seen things blown up. Army man with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Disconnected controller.
I don't know. Yeah, there's so many shooters. So many shooters this year.
Uh-huh.
I just... I don't know if I want to play those anymore.
Yeah, me either, man. Well, you had started off with that, and then it was kind of just talking about the new features of the Xbox after that. Like,
which I think some of those new features are great.
They sound it's great, awesome. Too.
Very first thing, as soon as that rolls out, the new Xbox experience,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Bing and then everything. I'm just going to... I want to break that. Because I'm like, I realize like the way the Kinect works is it has pre-scripted words that you can say to it
mm-hmm.
to make it do certain things. So when you tell me now I can say whatever I want.
Yeah.
How good is this?
Well, you know, take your phone for example.
Right.
I'm totally surprised by how well it picks up my voice when I do like a voice to text on my Android phone. So I can imagine, you know, it has to be at least that good for
it's yeah, my phone is probably 75% accurate.
Uh-huh. The thing that I'm worried about with that is how do you refine your searches? So, you know.
Well, it's Bing. It's
well,
it will just suggest things to you.
Right. In their press conference, they showed, they're like, okay, Bing, X-Men. And then it brought up like all these movies and television shows and comic books for X-Men. But
like, do you suppose that's showing everything relevant to X-Men that just exists on the internet, or is that showing you everything that's relevant that exists on your Xbox?
I think it is purely things that are accessible. So if you want to like go look up the X-Men wiki page,
mm-hmm.
you know, you won't be able to do that.
So it's not, it's still the only console that can't actually access the true World Wide Web.
Does the Wii have a...
oh yeah, it has an internet browser. Runs on Opera.
Okay, all right.
And PlayStation uses whatever the hell it is PlayStation uses to browse the internet.
Sure, yeah. Proprietary internet browser.
Yeah. But at least the PlayStation can stream video. And maybe the Wii can sometimes. It likes
Netflix.
YouTube. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, you've got Bing integration, which, you know, you've got that. And you've got the new Xbox Experience front end and... all the Kinect digital, or I'm sorry, the Kinect, you know, touchless voice controls for your system, you know, Kinect or Xbox Find this or that, or full control over it, which all seems really cool and brings to like this press briefing or media event was sort of it's more of what I can see Xbox shifting towards is it's just like all Windows products mm-hmm. where it's not your one device to do your one thing. It's your omni device. Like it is your PC that you use as your, you know, movie player, and you also use it as your word processor and gaming machine, and you also, you know, use it as all these other devices, like your phone with Windows, Skype, or whatever the hell they're
services. Hopefully by the end of this, by the end of the whole shenanigans with the Kinect, I won't actually have to write my reviews. I will just say them into the Kinect and then just post them on Boss Barrel.
It'll be God, great. Weebly would probably break the browser.
Yeah. Like, no, can't do can't this.
Load those widgets.
Yeah. Especially since I write directly into Weebly.
Mm-hmm. So just the kind of shift that they fully committed to into Xbox being a full media device and not just your like favorite gaming console, which, you know, makes sense if they have them in the house already. You know, how are you going to keep them there? You're going to, you know, show different things to use them for and not just video games.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a good way to increase, you know, your market.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want more adult, like parents, you want more kids, you want people
uh-huh.
who...
Well, you've got the kid market, you're like the younger market nailed down where it's like, oh, you know, you're going to buy a gaming system, you buy the Xbox because that's what everybody else has and you can mm-hmm. do voice chat and Call of Duty or whatever on it. Mm-hmm. So you got to appeal to, you know, a little bit older demographic of those people who are either just leaving gaming and they're like, well, I think I'll get rid of my Xbox, or those older people that are like, oh, just want to watch TV with Xbox Live TV.
Yeah, that was another thing that I feel like they glossed over that I wanted to know more about.
You watch Castle.
Yeah.
Do you want to watch Castle?
It's my favorite show.
Is it your favorite show?
It is my favorite show.
Well, it's Castle 24/7.
Yeah.
I think I saw like an ABC logo or something on it. Yeah,
maybe. But ABC sounds like they would be the ones to jump onto this.
They never once said like channels or
two mentions of
watch live
internet TV. Mm-hmm. That was two mentions of internet TV anywhere on there.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to watch your favorite show? Because it's on live TV right
now. Your favorite TV show is on right now.
It's Castle.
Oh, great. Like, and the only one you assume it could be is that one that's dead center of the fucking screen. Mm-hmm. And it's Castle.
Yeah. The things on the side are just like other Microsoft advertisements.
Right. It's like, well, we've come to the conclusion that this family is a bunch of lamos.
Yeah.
It's like, great.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah, cool idea, though. Like, they said they're going to tenfold increase of all their partnerships, and hopefully that means, you know, securing some television companies where they can, actually have different channels of television on
their Xbox. Well, I mean, honestly.
And then I could not have cable ever again.
Well, I don't have cable now. You know that. I just watch everything through the internet.
Hey, I don't support cable.
I don't
support. If Jen didn't want cable, I would not have cable.
Right. If Claire wants cable or satellite or something really bad, and I've agreed that whenever it is that we move, we will get it, but I ain't going to like it. But yeah. But I will is the thing. I will enjoy it. Because I like watching TV, but I don't need it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it going away. If there was just subscription-based television, yeah. Where it's like, hey, you know what I want to watch? I'll pay $30 a month for choose your own 15 channels.
Right.
That would be awesome.
I feel like that's what it needs to be. I feel like these big channel companies like ABC, NBC, you know, HBO, all blah, 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 blah. They all need to just start being like, if you want to have like a monthly service with us, just buy this widget.
Yeah, you know, it's like the cable
just
channels,
like HBO has this thing,
and was it Turner?
Turner,
like those big conglomerates
TNT.
That own a massive amount of channels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, man, you really gotta not do that, because then I'm going to opt out of everything.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, just like. I don't know. It just having TV streaming into my house should be a lot easier at this point in life, but it's not.
Uh-huh.
And it shouldn't be nearly as expensive.
Yeah, easier or cheaper. Like,
yeah.
You
if you're going to make me pay that much money, this should be a lot easier.
Right. Cable needs to go the way of like the home phone, where it's like, "Oh man, you still use that? You know, you could just use your internet." And people are like, "Yeah, but you know, I like having all the channels."
Yeah. Do you? No, you really don't.
No, you don't.
Because, like, the fucking Dish Network can tell me that, you know, I can have 700 channels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch at
500
most,
of them are just fucking music
channels. Exactly. And it's like, at most, I will watch, like, six of those.
Exactly.
Just give me Cartoon Network. Give me...
Spike.
Give me Spike. Maybe give me FX.
Uh-huh.
Give me HGTV. Give me Food Network.
Yeah.
That'll be fine.
Sure. So other things in the Microsoft press conference.
I need Discovery Channel too.
Oh yeah. Of course.
I need Shark Week.
Yes.
I want that back.
Mythbusters.
And Mythbusters. Only two real good shows on there.
Yeah. Imagine if you could just subscribe to a television show. Wouldn't that be great?
That's what Netflix is turning into.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
off topic, but apparently Netflix is getting ready to like crap its pants because Starz, like their biggest supporter,
yeah,
like their contract with Starz is up shortly.
Really,
and I think Starz is aware that it needs more money.
Nice,
bam! Get out of my podcast.
Nice work.
Just killed an insect.
Giant mosquito.
Yeah, mosquito.
Well,
so yeah, Microsoft conference.
Yeah, it was. I guess the only like hiccup in it was when the controller shut off in the beginning.
That was
like
really
5 seconds in.
I, Did you hear some of like the
speculation
as to where, like, whether or not that just jumped into a video?
Well, if you watch it, it really hiccups closely, a little bit. You'll see it, the controller disconnects and it pulls it back to like a debug screen with a like weird menu, and then instead of just going back into the game, there's this weird red and green flicker that happens, and then it just flicks over, and there's no like.
It did that a lot with the Tomb Raider video too.
Well,
weird,
it was
like on-off thing that happened.
Very specifically when it was switched off of that pause screen, it seemed like something was up. So it's entirely possible that Robert Bowling wasn't playing the rest of that demo.
He was just...
Yeah, just pretending.
Diddling those dongles.
Yeah. They had my favorite part of the show when Cliff Bleszinski came up to show Gears. He brings out, you know, he's a good friend, because it's always better to play Gears with a friend. Uh-huh. Ice motherfucking T. Uh-huh. And Ice T's totally unscripted, awesome dialogue of like,
they're both.
Hey, Cliff, I got a gift for you. I'm going to reunite Body Count and play a song in commemoration of my new character in Gears of War 3.
Oh, God. Did you get. Wait, do they show him?
Because
I checked out partway through that.
Yeah, I didn't see the character yet. I haven't. I've just been staying off any news lately because I know it's just going to be like information overload, and just wanted to process these press conferences.
Man,
right now.
When I checked my feed this morning, it was like nearly 300 things.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, oh God! And all of them are the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It's all just going to be this happened at the press conference. Yes, his character's name is Griffin. Griffen.
Oh.
Bastards.
Oh,
but the demo that they showed was really cool. Like they were showing this level where you have to fight this giant like squid thing on a boat.
Sweet.
And
rails?
No, T got in the silverback. If you're familiar with that thing, it's like this exoskeleton walker.
Yeah,
you remember seeing the concept art for it?
Yeah.
So he gets in that, and Cliff just stays on foot, and. The coolest thing about it was, you know, T was like just stopped moving and was shooting at the monster, and Cliff was taking cover behind his robot, like, you know, slamming up against the back legs of it.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you have a mobile cover device, which is really neat. Actually a really short demo. Besides that one little piece of like, oh, okay, looks like Gears. Lots of yelling. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Shit tons
of yelling.
Mm-hmm.
What else was shown there? Oh, then I guess that was really it for just hardcore stuff, right?
I mean, Peter Molyneux.
Oh,
had
well, I was gonna say
Fable, the
then
Journey.
They trotted out all the Kinect games, which
right.
was like the Kinect enabled games. Like,
hey, some of that stuff.
The Mass Effect 3.
The
Kinect
Mass Effect.
Support.
Okay, let's talk about these in order of appearance.
Mass Effect 3.
Mass Effect 3 would have been the first one, which. I think we both agree that
Mass Effect 3 looks awesome.
Mass Effect 3, yes.
Cannot wait to play that game.
Mass Effect 3 looks fucking amazing, and I want to play that game. And God damn it, Microsoft, I don't really want to buy Mass Effect 3 on Xbox, but they're making me want to.
Really? Why?
Oh, because now I own it for PlayStation.
Oh.
Damn it.
Well, the Kinect support that they offer is like you...
Maybe I'll just borrow yours just
yeah,
so I
go.
Can play it on Kinect.
You can talk to your Kinect to select the dialogue wheel options.
Yeah.
And it comes up for like your Renegade Paragon decisions. You could say what the dialogue wheel says instead of using the thumbstick and pressing over to it. So, you know, you can make Shepard say, I have no intentions of getting to know you. And then it selects that
And then it
one.
Goes into the dialogue thing. I feel like the only thing that was weird about that was like while I was watching him play that, I was like, I hear his voice and then I hear Shepard's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Two totally different voices, and it's just like, it's
well, I find it
bummer.
Weird that you know the way that the dialogue wheels work is you select the thing that is just sort of supposed to be like your gut reaction, really simplified thing, and then Shepard says like a longer phrase,
right?
So when you speak that out loud, and then you hear him say something that's like moderately different,
yeah,
like, it's kind of weird.
It's yeah, it adds another layer of like that's not exactly what I was feeling, but
and
all
can
right.
you imagine like is it going to be the entirety of the dialogue wheels? So you know you'll get into it's a investigate C-Sec. Elevators, NR.
Oh, yeah, not just
not just the decision parts, but like
even going through like the entire menu interface. That would
when
be
you
cool.
go to like no, like you know when you go to like a new planet and they're like you know you have like carry on with the story and
oh,
then
man.
You have like three choices on the left side that branch into six choices, and another
you're,
selection.
You're doing the investigation stuff where you want to know more about things. And
it's a lot
like,
of talking. Back.
Yeah, but at least I can just throw my controller and just be like, just wing it.
Yeah. Well, and then the other side is you'll have squad commands, so you'll be able to say your party member's name, and then wherever your trigger is or your sight is aiming, you can tell them to move to that location or stay back or, you know, take cover, I'm assuming, and then using their abilities. So in the demo, Greg was showing you can say like, okay, Garrus, move forward. Liara, move forward, and you can command your troops just by voice, and then you can have them, you can issue them like attack commands. So it's like, Liara, use singularity.
I wonder if you give the commands without saying the names, if both of them would follow it, but it makes it seem like you have to give them individual commands.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, like, I agree with you that slowing down, like, stopping time and being able to do those things in that reserved fashion is more beneficial. I feel like, though, this adds a layer of like realism to it that's really interesting.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I would definitely like to give it a whirl just to see how that goes.
I totally appreciate the side of Mass Effect where they're like, we're gonna make it into more of like an actual fast paced shooter by refining the shooting controls and giving you all these hotkeys, and now you've got voice commands to, you know, move your troops around, and
yeah.
I'm cool with that. It's not the way that I prefer to play Mass Effect.
Right. I mean, but then that also like makes me sort of think of like, well, I mean, maybe that's not what I want to do in Mass Effect, but maybe there is a game that I would want to do that in, like some sort of squad-based game.
Oh, something like Tom Clancy's
Ghost Recon Future. But I don't think that's
what
in
was
it.
The
but
game? End War?
Yeah. Not like End War, but like that, but not like that. Mm. Like, not Command and Conquer shit. But no, I just like, you know, having that being like, you know, squad A, move here, like on the fly while that stuff's happening. That's the layer of realism that I think that the Kinect could bring to some shooter games.
Yeah. The thing is though, it seems kind of weird because to have that as your focus with the Kinect, your headphones free, I guess. I mean, you don't have to have headphones, but you could do the same thing without it. Like, if you have Mass Effect and you don't own a Kinect, will you still be able to use that functionality by just plugging your headphones into your controller?
I don't know.
Your microphone into the controller? Because what...
I'm going to say no.
So you think that the actual voice processing is happening inside the Kinect and not in the game?
I think it is. I think it's connected through the Xbox in a different fashion. I was trying to avoid saying it.
I see. All right. Well, I'm just wondering, like, if they go that route, then you'll be able to play that game only that way through your Xbox. But what if it was just through a microphone? Then you could just plug your microphone into your PS3 and have the same experience.
Yeah, or you could have the PlayStation Eye. There's a perfectly good microphone on that.
Sure.
Eye.
But if you're saying that the Kinect runs it, like, there is no software in the eye that would be able to process anything like that. Like, that's just a shitty fisheye lens.
I don't know. That's weird. Like, because that was the only thing I was thinking is, like, I do wonder how that's being processed and if there's any way that they could make that work on the PlayStation. Or if they have any ideas of, like, would they want to make that... like make Mass Effect 3.
Well, we'll be able to find out 3612.
So
good date on that one.
Yeah, 3612.
At Hollow Blade.
Multiplications.
Fucking that Hollow Blade looks
that
so awesome.
Hollow Blade is that's pretty cool. I wonder if that's just I wonder if that's just like a that's something that like only like a soldier class gets or something like that.
I think it's gonna be something that everybody gets.
Everybody gets.
Because your class
crazy
is
stabbing thing.
Yeah, your class is sort of defined by your weapon loadout now.
Oh yeah.
And less of the powers that you receive.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Like Shepard will, you know, the branching of the powers might be different, but what they said, like, one of the biggest things with the class changes is it's not a, if you choose this class, you will only be able to play this way. Like, if you choose this class, it kind of just changes your weapon loadouts.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're saying, if you play as, so the example they gave was, if you play as a soldier, you will have the ability to enter into combat with every weapon, versus if you play as like a sentinel, you have one weapon choice. You could still take a sniper rifle with you, but you will then like have less things to go into, and then I don't know, maybe it's more like there's only a handful of special abilities instead of like a very distinct line that you go down.
I mean, I can appreciate that you can take any weapon in for any contingency, but you are less, more or less capable of using it depending on.
And it's a bummer. You didn't watch the EA press conference because they showed Mass Effect 3 there, and it was a lot of the different demo of what they showed at Xbox or Microsoft, because that was a very, very tight focus thing on showcasing Kinect, but the EA version, it was like, let's show you how this game has changed significantly. So, you know, Shepard is doing rolls into cover and, you know,
quickly
navigating cover, moving around, and actually with this speedier.
He doesn't have that weird like butt jaunt thing.
Yeah, like he doesn't do the roadie run quite as much. It's still there, but it's like, it seems like it's a little bit more nimble, and you know, he's mantling cover and moving a lot quicker, and you can even use like stealth takedowns if you can get behind enemies, and very, very cool. And they're showing like, well, this is a just different ways to play it. Like if you want to go in guns blazing and launching all your powers and stuff, you can do that, or you can play more tactically or more stealthy. So very, very interesting. The other Kinect enable games at Microsoft, you had Peter Molyneux come up, right?
Yeah, you know,
Fable the Journey
is on rail. Let's call it a shooter.
Yeah.
I was sort of
on rails horse whipping simulator.
Horse whipping simulator. So the beginning of that game is like you're
driving like a buggy
and you're whipping that horse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mush.
Yeah.
Do you have to say yeah?
Probably. Yeah.
But I don't know, the magic hurling aspects of that are kind of cool.
I really like the...
I did like all the
hand motions that they detect to do different spells.
To do different things, like holding your hands together to make different
sorts of things. When he rubbed his hands together and he made that, like the icicle.
That, yeah.
Like, that's how you would do that.
Javelin spear magical, thing.
If I would make ice like that.
If I had magic in my body, that's how I would do that thing. Mm-hmm. Or like the meteors that he could rain down from the sky, where he like brings them in a location.
Both hands smashing down like a dunk.
Yeah, it was really kind of. I was kind of interested with that.
Very cool in what the Kinect could do there, but not a game I'd want to play.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
If you could integrate those hand motions into a non-on-rail shooter, then I would totally be down.
Basically, the conclusion that I came to is the conclusion I've been coming to for like the last 10 years about Fable. Every iteration is making it more and more magic focused, which is not the direction I want that game to go. Like every iteration, magic is more powerful than it was in the last one, and it is the, like, why would you use anything else?
Right.
Like Fable 3, you don't need to have a sword or a gun.
Right.
You just spam fire and lightning until everything is dead.
Sure. But the one thing that people did take, or that was brought to the attention during that demo, was the guy was sitting down.
He was sitting down
playing the Kinect.
Here's some news for everybody. I've been sitting down using my Kinect for a long time.
Is it working?
It works fine.
Huh. You're sitting really
high. Except for Dance Central, because then it's like, your feet aren't right.
Yeah.
No. That's not how you dance. You dance standing up. Like my Kinect is fully capable of recognizing.
Kinect and I have an understanding.
Yeah.
It knows I'm sitting down.
It knows I'm sitting down. It can see my hands and my head. It knows.
What else was there after that? You had Dance Central 2, which now will have two-player mode with two people dancing on screen at the same time.
More drunk and ridiculous, Griff.
Yeah. With a lot more complicated dance motions, it would seem.
No more light bulb.
Yeah, or doing the rocker Supermaning, whatever. Yeah. It was very, very complex, like, rolling of the arms that I can't do.
Yeah, that wave thing
When they were like, I don't know how to use words to describe this motion, but it was like,
Pop and Lock?
No. They were for the song they were playing, they had to, like, as if they were spinning a lasso with their hand, but they were doing it super fast and super tight just in the wrist, and then, like, bringing it from their shoulder to their hip.
I see.
And I was like, man, that's why I'm so white. Like, I can't even fathom moving like that.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen pictures of us, Griff is slightly less white than I am.
Pretty damn
You're
white.
Very white.
And it's like, man, like, that's really intimidating. But also cool that the Kinect can pick that up.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really cool.
Any other games before they brought Kudo out? Dr. Snowda? It was a very weird, like, pause there. It was like, really? Did Dr. Snowda? Huh.
There was the they had Ubisoft come out for a little bit to show some of the stuff for
for Ghost Recon. Future Soldier.
And
yeah, that was really awkward.
The gunsmith thing was kind of cool. Like,
gunsmith is cool to me, like the 3D Pokemon Pokedex on
right.
the 3DS is cool.
Did you download that yet?
Day one.
Oh, God dang it, I want to see that so bad.
They're kind of sweet, actually.
Are they? Are they? Does it read off of your Pokedex? You have to do some sort of like RFID.
We can talk more about that later. Damn it. About all right, how that fine. Actually works. But,
damn it. Okay, yeah, don't get off topic here.
No.
I don't know, gunsmith
is
kind
covered
of
covered in the Nintendo press conference. Okay. Reggie spent a long time talking about that. Okay. So.
And there is you posted something of it on
the site too. So. You can read the news article on it. It is what it is.
No surprises. It is a Pokedex.
Pokedex and fucking Excitepike. but yes, you have Gunsmith, this feature in Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier, right?
Yeah.
Or I don't know what the full title is.
Whatever it is.
Where you use your Kinect to basically like field strip and disassemble your gun on the
faster
fly.
Than anybody's ever been
able
to do
it's very cool. Like
whip, yeah, you just open
your
hands and rip that thing
your
apart
arms wide open, and then it takes it's very like I just love the aesthetics of it because
no yeah it's
I,
yeah
I like
it's visually pleasing. It's
firearms
like,
are very interesting,
oh yeah,
you know, mechanisms. So you have it's like those diagrams that you see like a fully blown out, all the pieces are, you know, all
disassembled
in
certain ways.
Yeah.
I do like that you can just like you can straight up just tell it what you want to fiddle with.
Yeah, it's voice controlled where you can say, okay, you know, rail attachment, side rail attachment, and then you can cycle through the options you have there, or you can use your gesture commands to rotate the wheel and pick out the commands you want to do. So complete customization of your gun on the fly.
Yeah, all the way down to like the freaking bolt.
Bolts, the gas compensator, you know, your stock and body and magazines and all the stuff like that, you know, everybody would want who's a gun nut.
Mm-hmm.
And then
randomize.
Yeah, that's the weird part.
Just give me whatever.
Right.
Just give me something that can put some things downrange.
Right. It was like the one that they generated too. It was like a sawed off shotgun with a shotgun attachment and a scope.
It's like, wow, that's really random.
Yeah, you guys got it.
I asked for random, and this is what I got. A shotgun with a shotgun.
So you can tell it's, you know, optimized for close combat, optimized for long range and or distance, and then random, it'll randomly generate that. But
now, can we talk about, hey, have you ever wanted to play a first-person shooter or a third-person shooter game with Kinect?
See, that's the thing, though, is... From what they showed with Gunsmith is after you design your weapon, you can go into the shooting range.
Yeah, I did like that the like seamless maneuver that he does where he just puts his hand up behind his head.
Yeah.
And it instantly knows that he wants to.
All the Kinect actions to do these things are cool.
Yeah.
Except for the shooting of it.
When I saw him do it, I understood what was going on.
Right. You're like being Arnold Schwarzenegger with a
like,
giant machine gun, and then you're like...
Like you open your hand
open
and
closing
that...
Your hand
yeah, it's like controlling a water valve.
Yeah.
Like it's like controlling a fire hose. Like you've got your handle on it and you're gripping the hose.
The way the guy was doing it is, you know, he's slightly bent at the knees and like he's got his front hand forward like he's like riding a horse one-handed.
Yeah,
and he's his hand
like,
to the side. And
his
just
hands
like,
are down there,
God,
just like just, grabbing its balls and just like,
yeah, just
go faster.
A very, very thing you just don't want
weird.
People seeing you do that.
It was weird.
Uh-huh.
My thing of it though was, this is the main problem I have with the Kinect, is yeah, obviously there is a way to make it shoot dudes.
Mm-hmm.
How do I move forward?
You don't.
You don't.
Right. Your shooting range is just to test the weapon you pick.
But is
from
that,
what I can tell, that is where the connect options end.
Yeah.
You are not going to be walking in place to move your guy around.
You just like swing your arms violently to shooting. Move and you have to lean and you go, oh God. And you're like backpedal.
Yeah. It's a, from what it's I can
like
tell,
shifting
from that demo,
motions.
It only exists that the connect features only exist
just
within
in like the gunsmith realm
area. Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But
not going to play that game anyway. So
yeah, so it doesn't matter. Oh, so yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And then they showed the Forza 4 demo, which I can only assume has some Kinect interactivity. When yeah. they showed like the, yeah, you've got your, I don't, did they say you can use your arms for it?
I don't know, but originally like that was one of the things before.
Well, I remember
when
they
it
showed
was Natal,
that, right? Like, the Natal demo of like you would get into the car. Mm-hmm. They never, well, they had that weird mini game driving
where you
it
would
was
like,
all about drifting and passing.
Yeah, you push forward and pull back for.
And then they had the basically like the car smith, which is like you can just use your hands to cycle around this really gorgeously detailed view of this car and like tell it to get in the driver's seat, press the start button, like open the hood, like do all these interactions with the car. And it seemed like from the demo that will be there based on, you know, they're checking out the wheels and looking going into the driver's seat and, you know, doing all that stuff. God, that game looks gorgeous too. Like if I enjoyed cars.
Yeah,
like
no.
Just for a moment there, I was like, "Oh God, cars are sweet."
Cars are really cool. I like cars. Then, I don't know shit about cars. Yeah,
I like cars.
Exactly. I had a lot of Hot Wheels growing up. I like cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the extent of my love for cars, yeah. though. I know about as much about cars as I do about Hot Wheels.
Press the button to go.
Exactly.
Start engine. Yeah, very very gorgeous looking Forza 4 trailer. And then they brought out some specialists with the new Kinect information. You had Dr. Kudo Tsunoda, apparently, coming up on stage to discuss like all the advances that have been made with Kinect technology besides, you know, the voice commands and stuff like that. So he's like showcasing this thing called like what Kinect Fun Labs, which is available on your Xbox now, which have like you can finally do all those things that were originally promised where you can like scan in items, things mm-hmm. in the real world, and it will somehow turn that into a thing. Like this woman brought up this weird looking pillowcase and scanned it in and it would move with her. Like if she lifted a leg, it like gave it legs and it would like stretch at the base. Very, very creepy. And you know, then they just kind of had a chuckle where it was like, yeah, and you can finally scan in your skateboards.
Nice.
Right.
Can you scan in dresses and things yet?
They did. They had the...
I was going to say, because that was a thing. Like, you
yeah.
can scan clothes.
No,
and...
I forget what the name of it was, but it's the Me or the...
Dress Me.
No, what's their thing called? Avatar Photo Booth or something. Okay. I don't know. Let's just sure. call it that. And what it does is they brought this woman up and she sat in front of the camera and it took a picture of her face and then... She had the back up from the camera and it took a picture of the clothing she was wearing. And then it, you know, did some digital processing magic and then poof, there was actually a really good, accurate looking avatar of her with her exact clothes on.
Whoa.
So like, oh,
I'll have to go. Yeah. I'll have to go give this a whirl.
You should. I would be really interested to see how well it can pick up like clothes that aren't designed by Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly. Non-avatar clothes.
Exactly.
Can I have my sweet cake shirt?
Exactly. Yeah, like what if you have a logo?
Yeah.
Or can you make a naked avatar?
Does the Kinect just go, no, we
what if you just are
don't endorse these
naked?
Things?
Like,
exactly.
What happens there?
You're gonna get an ugly avatar is what's gonna happen.
Speaking of
man, now I
wanna
like stand in my underoos in front of this thing.
They showed the what do they call it? Finger fireworks? Where very cool piece of technology where the guy stood on stage and took a picture of himself making a pose. And then he took another picture of himself standing slightly off to his left and doing another pose. And then he elevated two fingers to, you know, like a closed together piece, like a Boy Scout promise symbol or whatever mm-hmm. you call that. And then
Weeblos, like.
Yeah, like like we're number two, but a really tight number two. Mm-hmm. And when he did that, it would create like a sparkler effect with his fingertips, and he could move it around the picture. So basically he made a 3D picture with two of himself in it, and he could trace through that 3D space that he created.
It's really cool.
Very cool. Very cool idea, but, you know, it's like, what do you use that for?
Exactly. Relevance.
Besides making
relevance
pictures
here.
Of yourself having sex with yourself.
Yep. Lemon party.
Yes. Fireworks.
Fabulous.
I can't really remember any other the Kinect stuff that came off. Oh, the Disneyland game. Where oh. Now you get the, you know, the virtual movement through Disneyland, and you can go into certain rides and have kids say really awkward things.
Because I don't.
Wow.
Yep, because I don't.
Get the coins. Get the coins. Wow.
Dad, can I have one?
Yeah. That was the balloons. Skittles moment this year of like the little kid.
Slate, oh, God.
My favorite part was when they were... They were going through one of the adventures, and they're like, get the special coins. And, you know, this kid had to be like 6 years old on stage, and they missed the coins. And he's like, oh, we missed it. It's okay. We'll get them next time. You're like, yeah, you're never going to play this game again, are you, kid? Nobody wants to.
Nobody really wants to.
And they brought Tim Schafer up, which was another highlight with him showing his Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster and his very... you know, Tim Schafer tugging at the heartstring anecdote of like, telling his daughter that he's going to go to work to make a game for her, which is a Sesame Street game. And it looks good.
Like, how are the googly eyes?
Googly. Way googly.
Cookie Monster's eyes are top notch.
Yeah. If you were in that situation where you had a kid who you wanted to play like a Kinect movie, move around, let's be active and do stuff like that game. Like that, it seems like an awesome choice. Like the actions that they were doing, where you like grabbing the bugs or dancing around and just like, you know, detecting both people on screen doing it at the same time was, you know, very cool. And the love and attention to the Sesame Street characters, where you've got Cookie Monster and Elmo and like the ones that they create, I forget what its name is.
That orange horn
thing. Yeah. The one that they made, it's very, very cool stuff. And Tim Schafer's comment about like unleashing the Reploid family or whatever he called it. It's brilliant. It looks pretty real, don't they? That's great. 100% Schafer there. That's really all I can remember for the Kinect side of that press conference. Besides then, you know, closing it out with their Halo 4 teaser at the end.
The Halo 4 thing is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't
very cool looking pre-rendered.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't show anything.
Yep.
By the end, I'm just like,
trilogy coming to the Xbox 360.
Yeah,
is what Don Matrick said, I believe. So, not future products.
Yeah.
To the Xbox 360, which, you know, probably just a misspeak. Yes. That trailer did not make me excited about Halo.
I know. Like, I'm kind of like,
everything looks cool, man.
Yeah. More Master Chief. Yeah. More crazy, awesome pistols.
Yeah. Really explodey pistols.
Yeah.
Space combat. Yeah. I guess that's pretty much it for the Microsoft conference. I'm sure there's things we're missing, but.
Probably nothing important.
Yeah, probably nothing at all, actually. So then after that was the E3 press conference, which you didn't watch, you said. Mm-hmm. So I'll just burn through that pretty quick. You know, you had a very good showing of E3's demos, and the best part was, John Riccitiello getting up on stage, the CEO of EA, and saying, like, he's like, hey, guys, you know, we're just here to talk about games. Peter Moore showed up for the Xbox conference too. So EA made a presence in every press conference by having somebody on stage from their company. But he gets up on stage and he's like, yeah, we're just here about the games. Not going to do a huge production with special guests and fancy explosion. You know, just basically taking a shot at the Microsoft conference, which is awkward but interesting. Mm-hmm. So then they showed a handful of games, you know, starting off with I don't remember what they started off with. Mass Effect 3, let's say. So they had a couple videos of that, and then, you know, the gameplay demo where they had no Kinect information, but a lot of just moving through this new environment and showing sort of like the melee combat changes and how you can kind of play differently, you know, and talking about the branching. Oh, they had, yeah, Casey Hudson, the designer of the game, shockingly handsome individual, doing that sort of thing, going in and talking about the game. It just makes me totally dig Mass Effect 3 even more. Yeah. They showed... I'm kind of blanking out on the other things they showed. They showed a lot of their sports games, like the FIFA, the Madden, and I don't remember what the other one was, baseball, something like that. Kind of focusing on new technology they're working on, which did seem actually interesting.
No basketball? That would be the one.
Sure.
They need to make up grounds for broken basketball games.
I don't remember it because there wasn't a lot of focus on it. It was... focus on the soccer and football, which apparently FIFA is like the most popular sports game in the entire world.
Yep.
But they're talking about like
soccer,
this new, in of itself, yeah, is this new technology they invented, which is like going to have more accurate tackles. So in soccer,
yeah,
when people collide, they're not just shifting into like sliding over and going into a tackle animation.
Yeah.
It's more of like based on actual human movement and, you know, clipping somebody versus actually fully
right.
on, you know, going body to body.
I think one of the things that I heard about this new technology was that for the longest time they had taken out the tackle button because it was just like, well, if you do a tackle button, then you've got this person flying through the air, and then we have this weird animation of when they connect with the other guy.
Sure.
Like, that's really weird. Now they have a tackle button again, but unless you are within a certain, like, let's say, reach of the mm-hmm. other of the thing you're trying to tackle, it just won't do anything. Like, it only reacts when you are within a certain distance.
I think I heard the same thing you're talking about. I think it's like, there is a tackle button, like an attack, offensive, very
right.
like brute strength tackle. And then there's also, if you're within range, you'll just kind of like go for a more
like
realistic
a wrap up.
Yeah. Like
tackle.
you can do that.
Yeah. It's no longer like the head to the solar plexus.
Right.
Like
you're not
fucking
doing the blitz
train wreck
torpedo dive.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's more like real football where you try to grab them around the lower arms and
sure.
wrap them up around
yeah.
the legs and bring them down.
So they're implementing that with the new Madden and with the FIFA, which actually looked pretty damn good. And then my favorite part of that conference was, when, I don't know, Football Men's came up on stage and Peter Moore was up there with them. And Peter, just that clip alone was amazing with Peter Moore, like, talking to these certain football players saying, like, so you know a thing or two about, you know, coming back from, or, you know, working a strong defense, don't you? I don't know, Ravens player guy. And the guy's like...
Ray Lewis.
I don't know. And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm just, you know, strong defense is important. And he's like, isn't that right, son? And he's like, the guy's like, yes, sir. And just, you know, Peter Moore, just drill sergeant, getting up in these football players' faces, getting them to basically say, like, yes, sir, all the time. And it was really like, oh, man. Peter Moore has got to be, like, the best grandpa ever.
Oh, man.
Just, you know, demanding respect from these football players.
Well, what,
brilliant.
This is potentially the most money they are going to make all year.
Yeah.
If the NFL doesn't take off, this is where they're bringing home the bread.
Sure. Very, very funny, though. Just love seeing Peter Moore get in these guys' faces. Other bits from the EA press conference. You had, I want to say this one was in that. Maybe this was in Microsoft, where you had the Rome medieval Kinect game, where you're like using the sword and shield to knock people around. Oh, yeah, I forgot about Star Wars.
Oh yeah!
Lightsaber
Tell me about
on.
Star Wars. Great.
Lightsaber on, John. Lightsaber
do you,
on.
Do you use one hand or two hands or both hands?
That was the least impressive looking Kinect demo, or at
Sweet.
Least the guy that was doing it was really bad because.
Sweet. How does it understand?
It's You're slashing with your lightsaber.
I'm sort of familiar with the limitations of the Kinect.
Mm-hmm. And you're kind of stomping on the Time Crisis pad to dash forward.
I see.
Then you jump to jump around behind enemies.
But so, can it distinguish between a thrust?
I don't think there's thrusting.
Okay.
I think it's just slashing. See,
so it doesn't actually lean forward. It just moves around the screen?
More or less. I think you can do like wider arc slashes to deflect projectiles. I think it's co-op too. They had some dude playing along with, or they had, you know, an AI character moving along too, but I'm assuming that they're going for co-op.
I feel like if you really want to make a nice Star Wars game, you'll put it on the fucking move.
Yeah, that would make more sense, but...
because that thing is practically a lightsaber.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that weird medieval Rome game thing that didn't look interesting at all. Using your shield to block and stabbing guys. I'm just having a hard time remembering a lot of the details from the EA press conference. I know they just showed a ton of games. I'm not really... I'll have to do some rechecking once we get to the end of this, but let's just move on to the Ubisoft debacle. I mean, press conference. You should really watch that one, John, because you need to meet Mr. Caffeine.
Yeah, this is what I hear.
Mr. Caffeine.
I've heard some really amazing things about Mr. Caffeine.
Yep. Makes Jay Moore look actually funny.
Yeah, I felt like I didn't necessarily want to watch the EA or the Ubisoft press conference after seeing, like, what was his name from the Microsoft conference come up there and start talking about Ghost Recon.
Oh, I was
like,
yeah.
Gosh, if this is any inclination of, like, how much French-English I'm going to hear.
Sure.
Fuck this.
Yeah. But the problem was the games look really good. Like, it's worth watching just for that side. So, you know, watching the new Rayman game was, like, that game just looks so freaking good. Like, just, you know, classic 2D cartoon art that just is so intricate and smooth, and there's just so many mixing or moving parts to it. They showed a weird demo for, like, the Ghost Recon Future Soldier thing that didn't really show any actual gameplay. Like, mm-hmm. It was just a fancy video. It's like, I still don't really know what that game is about. They showed probably the Assassin's Creed was the only part that I missed of it, which is the end.
I saw that trailer you put up.
Yeah, it's
really long.
Just really good, you know, your classic Assassin's Creed intro trailer that's gorgeous, like, and
yeah, really well put together, really right. Really boner inspiring, I guess.
Oh, that's right. EA. So you had probably the most awkward speech that came from Ray. I forget if it was Ray or Greg. I forget which one it was. From BioWare, talking about Star Wars: The Old Republic, where it's like this like weird, kind of apologetic, like just a man who's been beaten down. You know, he's like, I can't show you a trailer, or I can't give you gameplay that's going to convince you that this game is going to be awesome because, you know, it's an MMO and it doesn't work like that. But
oh, that's right.
We've been working on it for so long, and we're just investing so much time into it, and it's really a great game. So just watch this other trailer of this cobbled together all the other trailers that we've done before, and like, man, this guy just seems tired of this.
Can I work on something else?
Yeah, like, oh Jesus,
can we just make a good game?
Yeah, it was a very, very weird way to discuss that game, but it's like, yeah, probably it came across as a guy who's tired of trying to sell this product because mm-hmm. he knows that people are kind of weary of it already too. Mm-hmm. But yes, then another very, very fancy-looking cinematic trailer that was just more cinematic trailers mashed together.
Sweet.
Something you found?
It was just, this isn't anything big, and you can probably wait till the Nintendo thing. Yeah, you can read that, and just, we can talk about it when we get around to the Nintendo side of things. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So, stay tuned.
Yeah. Stay tuned for next episode. Man, so Ubisoft... was you know, just a very... Oh, that's right. The what's that EA's... Gosh, now it's all coming back to me. Need for Speed the Run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard how gross that sounds.
Yeah. Need for Speed the Run.
The Run is exactly what you think it would be if you imagined a bad... Like, I've watched stuff for that, and I'm like, why would you make a game like that?
Are you talking about pooping?
No, I'm... God. No, I'm like...
So this is the first game where you get out of the car.
You get out of the car.
Yeah.
And you race on foot.
Yeah. So the premise of the game is they're like, you know, you're participating in this like highly illegal cross-country race.
You could sort of call it... Cannonball Run. You could sort of call it like... what's that stupid show that they do now?
Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
Cannonball Run. I don't know. I know what you're talking about.
Stupid ass show
where the families get together and they go across the country. Yeah, yes, only it's like that.
Legal,
but you get to go on foot. So they're you know you're driving very fast cars, and then what it would appear happens is once you get to the end of the race, your car wrecks, and you have to go out on foot and then perform a bunch of quick time events to run away and find your next car, basically. So you have no control over where you're going.
Because
outside
video
of the
games
car.
Get better when you insert more QuickTime events.
Yep.
If 20 years of playing games has taught me nothing, it's QuickTime events are so awesome.
It basically looked to me like somebody played Heavy Rain and they're like, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, I like pushing those buttons.
Yeah, let's put that in our driving game. Like, oh, no, it doesn't really work like that.
I'm just hold down these six buttons and then mash this one button.
Speaking of QuickTime events, to bring this back quickly to the Microsoft press event, Tomb Raider.
Yeah, that was also in there.
Lots of QTEs.
Yeah, I did have lots of QuickTime events. I feel like, I don't know. You're not interested in that.
I'm not interested.
It's the most interested I've been in Tomb Raider since...
That's fair enough.
Since like, 2008.
It is the most interesting Tomb Raider that I have ever seen, because I think Tomb Raider is a dead franchise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I take that back. I liked the...
The glaive? The dude with the glaive?
Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. I liked that.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was,
fair
that
enough.
Was fine.
Yeah.
That was fine.
That was not a Tomb Raider game.
That was
though.
Not a Tomb Raider game. That's that was a Lara was so Croft good. Game.
Yeah.
That all being said, though, I think it looks really good.
Sure.
I would be sort of interested to just give it a whirl.
Right. Sledgehammer Games is doing it, right?
Crystal Dynamics. Sledgehammer's working on their
that's
fucking
right.
Call of Duty game.
Thing. But was it the some dude who was involved? No, man, I'm getting all confused. The guy who was working with the Dead Space team, EA Redwood, mm-hmm. a long time ago, then left to make Sledgehammer, and then is he now working on Call of Duty? Or did he leave and join Crystal Dynamics to do this Tomb Raider?
That sounds like it's possible.
I don't remember, but the
People
game does have a very claustrophobic feel to it.
But this is also, like, I also feel like that's the beginning portions of it. Like, I would like to see that game when she, like, starts to get out of that cave.
Do you, though? Like, does it become open world, or is it just kind of, like, filtering from one cavern
like,
scene
I,
to the next
yeah,
cavern
I feel like,
scene?
Yeah, I feel like it'll become open world in the sense that this looks really open, but here's this path.
Right. Open world like Uncharted is open world.
Yeah, exactly. The environments look so vivid and so expansive, mm-hmm. but really, you just got this.
Can't
one.
Get past this tree right
can't
here.
Can't get past this part right here.
Yeah,
such a nimble climber, but this fucking tree.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to Ubisoft, that was that's all I can remember for that one. No laser tag this year, unfortunately. It's a bummer. Really looking forward to seeing that. Ah, boy. Let's we're at an hour, so let's take a break and we'll see if we missed anything. We need to double back in the next 40 minutes before we do PlayStation and Nintendo. Right?
Yep.
BRB, guys. All right, John. Had a chance to take a break and review some of the stuff. A few things that I forgot to mention. Minecraft for Xbox.
Minecraft. Is Kinect enabled?
Yes.
Yes.
Kinect enabled Minecraft with transferable saves to your PC version.
Yay.
Minecraft. Kind of a weird announcement. And then the Summer of Arcade lineup, which is like Fruit Ninja for Kinect.
Fruit Ninja is the big one.
Terrible Scary Planet or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
By the Limbo guys.
Is it by the Limbo guys?
I don't know actually if it is,
It sounds exactly like that thing.
It looks like a pixel junk game with like Limbo, like pixel junk shooter, but with the Limbo aesthetics.
Okay, so here we go.
And then there's Army Men 2 Cold War or something like that.
Toy Soldiers. Okay, so not necessarily in order of release here. Bastion.
Yes, but I don't. Is that part of the summer? No, that is.
This is the Summer of Arcade lineup. Yep. So Bastion, From Dust, which is a Ubisoft joint. Fruit Ninja, which is Kinect only.
From Dust.
Ubisoft attempts to reinvent the God game with a new title from Eric Chai, the creator of Another World. Basically, you can alter your environment surroundings of a tribe of struggling natives to help them survive and flourish. Maybe. I don't know. Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
Sure, there you go.
And listen to the description and tell me if I could not just insert this for Limbo. This startling side-scrolling 2D game has players navigate dangerous corridors and solving puzzles to progress through a world of massive creatures and strange environments.
Sure.
If it's in black and white, it's Limbo.
Mm-hmm. Gunstringer?
Gunstringer is not on here. Gunstringer is now going to be a retail game.
Oh, okay.
Like box and disc and things, which is kind of crazy.
It is.
Toy Soldiers Cold War. That sounds like a tower defense game. So that's it. There's your five, six. Your five.
Yeah, I was looking at the Xbox stuff this morning at what made it onto the, like, what from E3 has showed up onto the Xbox, and their Summer of Arcade list is just the Army Men, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, whatever, and Fruit Ninja is all they're showing on their dashboard. And then I was looking at all the other Summer of Arcade games that have happened in the past. It's really gone downhill year after year after year. The other thing. Oh, so the other weird thing with the Microsoft press conference was after the conference, they announced cloud save support.
How big is that and how much does it cost me?
I don't think it's going to be a cost.
Oh, which is going to be there?
It's going to be there
as long as I'm paying for my gold.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a press release that was released and I didn't read it. I just saw it in headlines that they will offer cloud.
You would think that'd be something you'd mention at the conference.
You would think that, wouldn't you?
Maybe they just don't appreciate how much people would appreciate having more save space.
Right.
Also, not having memory cards. Do you remember the day when we used to have these things called blocks. Memory cards?
Yeah, of course.
And save blocks. That is taking games from my house to your house.
Sure, yeah.
Check out all the sweet things I've done.
Right.
Now, for me to show you all the sweet things I've done, Microsoft has built this really awesome thing called Achievements.
You've got this. You've got this removable hard drive as part of the Xbox 360 version 1.
Yeah, but that thing doesn't work like you want.
Clip it into somebody else's Xbox, and you have all your stuff there.
Yeah, but then you have it doesn't
then download
it doesn't,
your profile.
Download everything.
Yeah. Let's go back to the EA press conference. Then other things I missed there. You have that EA Rise, the medieval game that I was talking about. Oh man, there's so many things. What was the other thing from EA?
Pull it together, Griff.
What's that?
Pull it together.
Oh, I can't remember. So many
things.
Oh yeah, the Gearbox. You had Randy Pitchford come up and talk about.
Oh man, that is coming quickly.
What is it? The Fearsome Foursome, or I forget what. Furious Four, which is like your Inglorious Bastards.
Yeah.
Team Fortress class-based shooter, possibly. Mm-hmm. Very very weird thing that they brought him out for. And Battlefield 3. Which is probably the worst demo they could ever give for Battlefield 3, which is like a tank level which was super realistic tank moving, like you're switching between your out of tank and your turret. And mm-hmm. the guy was playing it on like a tank control, you know, giant.
Was he?
It was like the Steel Battalion controller. I was going to say,
was he playing on a Steel Battalion controller?
It could very well have been the Steel Battalion controller.
They just retrofitted it for a 360.
Yeah, it looked pretty gnarly. And just a very long demo where it's like, yep, driving over the sand and they're calling these airstrikes. And half hour later, shoot some tanks. And
sweet. So it like was this boring
very
shit.
Slow-paced. Just in very, like, in everything that you've seen as a trailer for Battlefield 4 or 3, which has been like, it's, you know, beautiful, intense city fighting, you know, fast action and shooting guys and blowing things up. And then you switch over to this tank level where you're like, yep, riding in a tank, shoot this other tank. Mm-hmm. You wait to reload and you shoot this other tank. And then it's very.
If I've learned anything from my 20 years of video gaming, tank levels are always good.
Yeah, they had Kurt Schilling from what's his team? 303, 353, whatever studios. 38 studios. Kurt Schilling. Doing his The Reckoning, Kingdom of Amalur.
Oh, God.
Demo of that, which just looked like very World of Warcraft-y, very like character action, stabbing things, stuff. Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, that was it's pretty much all for the EA. And then the Ubisoft, the things that I forgot to talk about with that one was Trackmania 2, which I didn't really... I think I may have walked out when they started talking about that one because I don't really care for Trackmania. And then Far Cry 3.
Oh, right.
Absolutely gorgeous looking trailer on that one. With very dynamic stabbing of dudes.
Yeah, I heard a lot about this.
And really good definitions for insanity.
So
I gotta...
What's the potential dudes thing is that he's like... Like him and his girlfriend are going on vacation and shit goes down. And
yeah, but you
he's
don't
not
get,
just a dude.
You don't get that from the trailer. Like the way it was announced was very like gonna reveal the curtain right after it. So, you know, they put it up to like, oh, you're on vacation, your girlfriend's captured and you find yourself, you know, stranded in the middle of a jungle and then cut to very Far Cry looking jungle with dudes with guns and, you know, guy kind of gets up and starts disarming people and shooting them up and gets captured and, you know, thrown into some water and then goes on this mad, crazy shooting spree that when I was watching it, I was like, Hunter was watching it too. And it was like, man, this looks so good. Like, I can't believe that he's like, did that guy die and like mess up there when you get into the helicopter and gets shot down? I was like, I don't think so. I think this is a video. And I was like, wait, no, it's not. There's somebody actually playing this. Mm-hmm. I was like, God, that it just looks so good for everything
cool.
they showed.
I'll have to look at that.
Not a huge Far Cry fan like the story and everything that's done, but I like the Far Cry, what it brings to first-person shooters.
Yeah, I sort of like what they are doing, but I don't, like, I don't know. I've not really cared for those games too much.
Yeah.
Did they, maybe they did this last year, and since I wasn't there last year, I didn't. Is Ubisoft pretty much given up on that? I Am Alive thing?
That is a good question.
What's that other thing they could be working on? Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah, no mention of that either. There's a lot of things that have just kind of fallen off. I mean, you want to talk about games that weren't talked about. We could talk about the Konami pre-E3 press event. That was weird. But let's keep going here. I think that's pretty much everything for Ubisoft that's worthwhile talking about. Which brings us to PlayStation.
Sony.
That evening. Or yeah, Sony's press conference, which I don't know. Probably it was a very weird year for press conferences because you've got Microsoft with their shifted focus from games to more of like your media center. your PlayStation press conference, which was just like purely games, moves, and NGP, and then your Nintendo, which totally stole the show and, you know, blew everybody else out of the water. But it's like everybody, you know, every year you're like, oh man, what an awful, like this press conference was by far the worst and these other two were all right, and you can kind of create a hierarchy. But I feel like this year everybody just kind of did their own thing, and there was not a really effective way to kind of rank them, if you will. But I would say that, you know, PlayStation was probably the weakest in terms of just the things they were showing. I mean, it was very much just game after game after game after game after game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and NGP, PlayStation Vita information, and mm-hmm. which was very cool, you know, just showing everything they have, like no, very little pomp and circumstance and, you know, that sort of stuff. But you know, a very awkward Sony press conference, starting off with Jack Trennan coming out and...
I'm so sorry.
But
not in that way, not a groveling sense.
No.
I feel like it was, he was very professional about it.
That was the thing, though. Like, I don't think he ever said, I'm sorry.
No, I was looking for the words.
Right. It was, we appreciate everybody.
But did I not tell you? It would be, appreciate you
for
sticking with us.
Yeah, for sticking with us. Thing. Like, thank you, brick and mortar stores.
Yes.
Thank you. It was more of just thanks to everybody. It was like, thank you, developers who continue to have their products with Sony. Thank you, you know, consumers to keep using Sony Network and then you're welcome, news people, news editors.
Yeah,
for a very interesting way to start everything off.
Yeah, it is really. I was like, yeah, that's probably not a joke that needs to be told.
Yeah. So after that, you know, as Jack said himself, Elephant was acknowledged in the room. Then you got on with the rest of the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
By far the worst dressed people.
Yeah, I don't... Salmon and blue.
No, Jack Trennan's outfit this year, not a good choice.
It's like, who dressed you?
Or cause her eyes like oversized old fucking man suit.
Yeah, it's like, Jesus.
It was, you know, the color of a couch.
Did you just like sweat off 30 pounds before you came out here? Because that's what it looks like.
Yeah, everybody was just...
Everybody was wearing like...
Just the most atrociously fitting.
It was either ill-fitting or just like, where the fuck did you find that thing? It looks terrible. Did you make this out of like shit you found in the closet?
Mm-hmm. But Sony's games that they showed, again, like they showed a lot, but it just didn't seem like the things you wanted to see. Like, you'll be able to help me out with this more because you watched it, and they showed what was it called? Dust
514. Let's just call it Dust because that's a better name.
Yeah, it's your Eve.
It is universe. It is confirmed that that links up in some minute way to Eve Online. Yeah.
Now, how that happens?
Like the things you do in this more engaging game, let's say, affect the economics of Eve.
Maybe. Right, like there are no like, details.
Right.
They mentioned ISK in the trailer.
Right, that is the pipe dream idea of what it is. But it's like, if that's the case, that's kind of cool because I have no interest in playing Eve Online because it terrifies the shit out of me.
Right, Eve is the economic simulator of video games.
Exactly,
it's such a cool. I find Eve Online like just such it's a fascinating beast.
It's terribly fascinating because it's completely user like regulated.
Right, like I said, you know, when I was talking weeks ago about how home should be turned into like a republic of home where it's just ran by people.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what Eve is, where it's, you know, the capitalist side of that where you have people who create their own like corporations, and the money gets balanced through real world transactions and in game transactions, and so that whole side of it's really cool. But how are you going to integrate, you know, a first person shooter into that world?
I sort of wonder if it'll be anything like almost like a Monster Hunter idea where you, like, so let's assume you play as a mercenary,
mm-hmm.
and the Eve Online people dictate sort of how jobs and missions are handed down.
Yeah.
Like, kind of thing. Like, right. You are purchased by factions to do things. God damn it.
Yeah.
That could be kind of cool.
Like, so let's say, structured well hypothetically, enough. You want somebody in EVE Online, some corporation in EVE Online wants to, you know, have this planet where they can farm these resources from, and another company, you know, wants it or is already holding it, then you can deploy a set of mercenaries. You can purchase and deploy a set of mercenaries to go and make an assault on a base, or, you know, capture this thing. So you're sending them ISK to fund your troops to get better weapons and get more, you know, gear or stuff like that. And maybe, and then once they control it, then money gets shifted to the economics of this other side. So
the better you do, the better standing you have with that online community.
You have a higher success rate as a mercenary, and
so it's like being a real mercenary.
Yeah, your kill death ratio is actually like there to promote, like,
yeah, it's like
promote you, which is very cool.
The concept is very cool,
but will there be a single player?
I don't know. Or would this be more
is this
like
just going to be like a mag situation?
Yeah, mag. That's what I sort of imagined it would be. It would like sort of like mag, but in this weird other way.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, if they can make that work, I might play that game.
I would be at least
interested to go and see how this all functions.
Yeah, I would be very interested. Let's see, what else did they show at Sony? They showed that a lot of Move stuff. So you had Kobe Bryant coming out on stage to play some basketball game using the Move, which is really awkward.
It was really awkward because I felt like there's a lot of
anybody can do it
unscripted like backhanded comments to people.
Like the dude who was showing the game standing next to Kobe kept talking about how awesome the Heat is, and Kobe is basically just like telling him to shut the F up.
Yeah.
Also, very, very interesting ways, or a very risky maneuver to take when you're in LA.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And then just like
Kobe kept messing everything up too.
Kobe was messing things up. It's like, did you guys rehearse this at all?
Ribbing him the entire time.
Yeah. Like, it was even like
you do in real life.
Touching the controller in his hand. It's like, do you play games with other people?
Probably just Jesus turning it off.
Yes. Just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to... please reconnect your controller. Oh, there you go, Kobe.
Yeah.
Now it's working.
Yep.
Now here's the video of things happening.
Mm-hmm. So easy. What was the other game then? The Good Job, Jeremy game? More Gears? Magical Moves or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like
I don't know what that thing was.
Your Move Zelda game?
Yeah, basically. You were this little skeleton knight dude, and you were going through a dungeon thing, and there were gears, and dude, that thing was so terrible.
Yeah, yep. It's like, man, that's a bummer that's somebody's investments of like their time.
God, that's a bummer that like you've got to be the guy up there hyping that shit.
Right.
Like I would shit my pants.
Breathing very hard into the microphone.
Yeah, everybody in Sony.
Good job, Jeremy.
Their fucking microphones were really, really close to their mouths, and they're just like,
yeah.
Oh God. Oh, there's so many people.
Very stressful event for Sony. Maybe that's why the clothing was so ill.
Yeah.
They just. Boy, okay, so then you had...
Well, they started it all with Uncharted, which looked good.
Yeah, good point. It started with Uncharted 3 in the boat level.
The boat.
Which was very...
The audio was queued up very poorly.
Right, at the beginning, and then it kind of got it back in there, but
towards the end. But no, that, like, again...
That is your train level. That is your showpiece. Yep, like, you're in a boat, and then the boat is, like, sinking and rotating around,
and it turns and everything falls, and it's really, really cool. Kudos to Naughty Dog for giving me
knocking
awesome
it out of the park
set
as
pieces.
Usual.
As usual. Then they did their sizzle reel of the rest of Uncharted 3.
Yeah, more Uncharted 3 footage, which is still like, damn.
What's British dude's name? Keep forgetting, like Cam or something like that.
Who?
British dude in Uncharted 3.
Who's the British dude you're talking about?
British dude. Australian dude. Maybe he's Australian.
Didn't he
Maybe
die? Didn't you talking about...
I'm pretty sure he's in Uncharted 3 now, too.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I could have swore he died, too.
The thief that you were hanging out with for a while.
Maybe it's a different guy, though.
Okay.
Because he looks really weird.
I thought he died at the end of it in like the civilization
explosion thing.
Sure, I don't remember. Yeah. Sully and Nathan Drake getting beat up way too much.
Sully looks like he's getting younger.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's the lack of mustache or something like
that. Yeah. Oh, is that what it was? He doesn't have a mustache?
I think he did, but it's lighter and less like, prevalent.
Yeah, maybe he's just been cleaning it up for the ladies.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
Man, what else did they have on display there? They showed, it was just such a...
Yeah, goddammit.
A weird grouping of games they showed. Like, the things that they chose not to show, like Twisted Metal... was very surprising.
No Twisted Metal. They showed some Resistance 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The worst demo for Resistance 3.
Yeah, it was some shooting some things.
Running through corridors.
Rain, and yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Their big announcement for the fanciful, like, 24-inch 3D TV bundle package.
How much would you expect to pay for this product?
$500.
Yeah. 3D TV that's like 24-inch
3D TV comes with one pair of 3D glasses,
mm-hmm.
and you get also a copy of Resistance 3 and an HDMI cable.
Yep.
Hooray.
And your Resistance 3 Super Deluxe Edition that comes with your zapper gun.
Yeah, you get your...
It's a move bundle with the gun and the game for $150.
Which honestly is not that bad.
Navigational controller in there too.
Yeah, you get the nav controller, you get...
Yeah. You get the eye, you get the wand, you get the navigation, you get the game, and you get the gun attachment for the wand.
Yeah, that is well worth it.
Right.
Price-wise.
If you want to jump into move,
that
then...
stuff is that stuff all together would cost you more than $200. Sure. So.
Yeah, it was a pretty good, pretty surprising deal. And then the other weird thing they were showing about the TV is if...
Oh, God, I like...
two people with glasses on, and they're sitting on two different sides, and you go split-screen mode, it will show the full TV, but with just one 2D image for one side and another 2D image for the other side. So, basically, you're playing split-screen, but without the splitting of the actual screen.
Yeah. Both of you would see a full widescreen.
Yeah.
Full 24-inch widescreen.
Uh-huh. So now you're putting 3D glasses on to play in 2D.
But from an unobscured...
Step back, John. I maintain this is a step back. We are not moving forward at all.
Just turn the brightness up on your TV, so it's like, right?
Now, this could have great implementation. So you could go to a movie with your girlfriend and put on your 3D glasses.
You're watching one movie, she's watching another.
You know, Green Lantern, and she's watching The Bridesmaid, and you have your headphones in for the audio, and it's like...
Perfect.
This is great. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep. Boy. Yeah, what else did they have besides that? Do you recall anything?
Dude, I don't really. They didn't show a lot of things that I was super interested in.
Did they have a golf game? Oh, they had that weird, like, Might and Magic, or that, what was it called? The game that was basically the dungeon crawler it was like Diablo, Torchlight, Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, I don't even remember what that was called.
I don't remember either, but you have, like, move controls for that, and you will be assaulting other players' dungeons that they design and taking control of them.
What we're getting at here, guys, is Sony press conference. Fucking riveting.
Yeah, just a very weird set of games they showed, which, you know, which was really only saved by their, you know, confirmation of the two models of the PlayStation Vita, which they called the NGP. The two more things. Okay, so you had Ken Levine come out.
Oh, that's right. And BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
They showed that a little
bit. Ken Levine's just awesome. Very awkward.
He's the most well-dressed person there, but he seemed so uptight.
Oh, God. It was great. Just his, like, digging into how much he just hated, like, motion controls.
Oh, yeah. He was...
Yeah, he's like, at Irrational Games, we don't do the waggly-waggly stuff.
We don't do any... Like, he making the golf motion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and just kind of ribbing on them, and then they're like, well, they sent us a move controller, and we kind of realized that we're going to do this because it creates more people who might want to play this game.
I feel like while that is true, I also feel like sort of the story he was telling me was, they sent us this Move controller, and inside the box with the Move controller was a lot of green packing material.
Green papers.
And it's like, so I couldn't say no.
Right. I mean, you get that impression from it, but I also feel what he was saying was more or less genuine, where it's like, why don't you just take this technology and use it? Because it will create more people to be in, it'll generate more interest in the game and a different way to play it. So, you know, it's not, what he was saying is probably to some degree true of like, you know what, we can integrate Move into this and it won't detract from the game is what I got from it.
I don't see why it would.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, it's...
it probably detracts some amount of, like, manpower.
That's the thing that, you know, I don't like.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you had that announcement, and then you also had Ono from Capcom come up.
Oh, yeah, and we talked about Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Yeah, do his Street Fighter Cross Tekken featuring Cole McGrath.
For the PSV featuring Cole McGrath, who looks fucking weird.
Really weird. Like you said, very Chuck Green-esque.
Did he not like have a stance on him that looked a lot like Hakan?
Or Hagar.
Or Hagar.
Yeah,
or
very, very hunched.
Very hunched and like arms open. He looked very like just gorilla-esque. And it's just like, have you guys played Infamous?
Well, he kind of has that pose. Like he stands there with his arms open, kind of leaning forward like a monster.
A little bit.
The beef level that had been injected into him to make him kind of match up with the characters made it seem a lot weirder.
Yeah.
And
also sort of like Chuck Green.
Yeah. It
throw a little faux hawk on him. Be all right.
The game, the Street Fighter Cross Tekken game looks great.
Yeah.
And on NGP... on PlayStation Vita, it still looks great.
PSV. I'm going PSV.
PSV. On the Vita, it looks great. But the introduction of Cole was probably the weirdest thing in there. But that game being available on the Vita and on PlayStation 3 is great. Yeah. Which then I guess we can talk about the Vita that they announced, the PlayStation Vita.
Yeah.
Which will have two versions of it. One is wireless only. The other one is 3G and wireless.
I think this is
through
very
3G
good
network provided by
the fastest 3G network.
AT&T. Yeah, which was the best part of the press.
The best part.
The booze.
The everyone's boo. No.
Yeah.
And then there's like this. Oh, come on, just clap for him. Just clap for the
Colin's
poor guy.
Just like, come on, guys. Yeah.
They make me say that.
Yeah.
They pay me money.
Sure.
And then, but, I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't know where the money flies that makes that any sense. It's just like Sony had a product before, a PlayStation product before, that had a T-Mobile network, which I can only assume has the fastest 4G network, because I think that's one of the things that T-Mobile likes to say. Or the only 4G, whatever. And then you get the Xperia Play, which is also technically a Sony product that is on Verizon's network. And then you have this that's going to be supported by AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
It just...
Well, I mean, the Xperia is not a PlayStation product. It is a Sony product. It's a Sony Ericsson product. So their licensing is a different head Hydra of Sony.
But it's like Sony Ericsson's always been big into T-Mobile. So I thought it would have made sense that would be a T-Mobile thing.
It could just be...
But if they start, like, if one end of Sony starts getting in bed with Verizon and another side is now, like, getting in bed with AT&T, it's just, like, weird.
It could entirely be this is the only network that would have a PSP. Like...
That could entirely be that.
Unfortunately, there is...
I don't understand why Verizon wouldn't want that, but...
More... Not enough money to use their 3G is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But at the same time, I'm sure AT&T would be more than happy to pick up another thing that could help them stay alive in this fight against Verizon Wireless. I
mean, gum up their 3G network.
Exactly. Bog it down.
Yeah. The PlayStation Suite was mentioned in the press conference. But more about the Vita. They showed a handful of games for it. The Uncharted... Drake's Decision or something like that.
A good
Finding Fortune,
a good point was brought up about
that's not a Naughty Dog game. Was that
it's, it? It is a, well, that is, it's a Santa Monica Studios game.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's a, that is a good point. Another good point, because I was thinking back to Uncharted 1, where it was like, it had all those weird six axis givies, those stupid things. It was like, throw the grenade with your six axis, yeah. Balance on the log.
Yeah.
That's what that seems like.
It's like, your showpiece for your tech.
Yeah, it just seems like, yeah, you can touch the screen, but you have all those buttons. I just really hope I don't have to do a lot of that stuff.
From what I've heard, you don't. But it does show the technology well, where it's like you can trace a line across, like a ledge, and Drake will climb that. Or you can use the gyrometer or the six axis to create momentum for Drake to make a jump. Or mm-hmm. you can touch the back of the screen. You can use the rear touch with Drake.
Mm-hmm.
So just the options that they have available is very cool, and it is showing the hardware well.
I did think, like, one of the things you noticed while we were watching that is that, like, it had like a quick touch for like your different weapon selections. That was kind of cool.
A little hot bar on the right side for doing whatever you want to do. It was kind of nice. But then, you know, it has all the buttons of a controller too, so
yeah, it's like
the controllers play that game fine.
Exactly. You can just map that straight up for that. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah. So, boy, was there anything else they showed on the Vita? They had a Little Big Planet 2.
Oh yeah,
that looked fucking awesome.
That looks really good. That is exactly how I would like to build things in mm-hmm. Little Big Planet, by actually like just drawing them.
Right. Or I would like to play games
they
that
also
are
had
Little Big Planet esque on that device.
They also had Mod Nation Racers on there.
They had Mod Nation Racers with their track creation that looked really cool.
That was really cool.
I
was down for that.
Oh boy!
Beyond that, I don't know that they showed a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, there were games that they were showing on them, but none of them were very
interesting,
striking.
They did announce the price point.
They did end their press conference by saying the PlayStation Vita will be available for two different prices.
Yeah, so I think those prices are very reasonable for that device.
$249 for the Wi-Fi only, and then the $299 for the 3G Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Didn't mention anything about the cartridges.
Yeah, they use like some sort of proprietary like memory card,
right?
That
right.
holds games,
like an SD card or
like
Game Boy cart.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta wrap this one up and move on to part two here in a moment, but. So that would be day one, basically, of E3 and all the major press conferences. I'm sure we're missing more things again, but that's all the most like prescient sticking points from that. So
mm-hmm.
we'll be back with part two to talk about Konami's pre-E3 press event and the Nintendo Megaton.
Yeah, the big bone.
Yep. All right. Lost Bell Radio. E3 2011 part 1 done.